Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I remember at the retreat, the first thing I remember was the lady said that if you get up on the pew and you don't feel anything, then it's pride. But I'm here to tell you that my heart is beating out of my throat right here. When I get up here, I feel so nervous. I'm the kind of person that love to talk to people, and I have no problem speaking with people in the streets and anywhere I go. But when I get up here on the pew, I begin to shake, and I get real nervous. So just excuse me for a little bit. But it's such a privilege, and I call it an honor, to be able to talk to God's people. I've been saved now for 8 years, and I could never forget the date. February the 21st, 2007 is when I received the Holy Ghost, and I was baptized September the 10th, 2006 is when I was baptized. But a lot of you all already know that I'm from the South, so I have a kind of like a not a real type of grammar, but what you call is I'm somebody who God can use, because he's looking for people that he can use who don't have it all together. So I'll start off by saying that first of all, let me thank God for my family being here, which I already done claimed that a long time ago. I thank him for bringing them into the church, and I thank God for all my brothers and sisters and my sisters who I had an awesome time at the latest retreat with. At one point, I fell to the ground, and I didn't even realize I was on the floor, but once I opened my eyes, I realized I was on the floor, and I began to ask myself, or ask God, how did I get down here, but I couldn't hear my voice? And at that minute, I said, well, how did I get down here? But I couldn't hear myself speaking. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to bring my voice back. I got to speak tomorrow. So at that point, he brought my voice back. So I thank God for that. If we can turn to the scripture, I'll be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11. I'd like to thank God also for my pastor and my first lady, who is an awesome woman of God. If you ever need any kind of encouragement, I'm telling you, it's going to be some biblical encouragement. That's what you're going to get from her. So I thank God for Sister Yvonne. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11 reads, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy, bright eyes, but good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil, and he anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And you already know about the Samuel and David, who he was a keeper of the sheep. David was a very humble young man, and these scriptures tell you about what kind of person David was and what kind of person Saul was. But let me tell you a little bit about how I got this message, because I'm not one that just could come up with messages. I normally wait to hear from God. So I cannot forget the date, January 23rd at about 3 o'clock. I was awake, and I have one of those doorbells that sound like the old telephone. And it was just ringing, and I jumped up, and I was saying to myself, now, who is this at 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, guess what? You know it was Jessica. I said, Lord, why is she out here at 3 o'clock in the morning? And she said, Mama, open the other door so I can go upstairs. And I opened the door, and she went upstairs. Well, when I came back and I laid down, I couldn't fall asleep. So I laid there for a few minutes, and I said, Lord, I said, let me fall asleep. And just as I closed my eyes, I fell into just like a deep sleep. For a quick second, I heard the voice said, "Tell my people I'm looking for a people." I was totally shaken out of my boots. I was like, "I'm really not going to go to sleep now, Lord." And I began to just ponder on the message that he was telling me to tell the people that he's looking for a people. I began to question, like, "God, what kind of people is this?" And I was trying to come up with a message myself. And right at that minute, God put me back to sleep. So I went back to sleep. And as I woke up the next day, I didn't think anything about it. But 2 days later, I began to hear a voice speaking to me and telling me about this people that God was looking for. So I just began to write. But as we see in the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we can see that God was looking for a people, but no one could really carry out what God was looking for. But as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11 and 12 through 13, we find the kind of person, you know, that God was looking for, where he announces the choice of an unlikely young man to be one of the greatest kings in human history. It was David. See, David, he was a humble man. He was a keeper of sheep. Now let us turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, and we'll see what kind of person that God is not looking for. First Samuel chapter 13, verse 13 says, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly, and you have not kept the commandments of your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" So as we see, you know, Saul, he was over God's kingdom for a minute and he ruled, but he wanted to do things his own way. So this is the kind of person that God was not looking for. God is not looking for a hard-headed, hard-hearted person. He's not. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14 and 15, it tells you how God's spirit departed from Saul and how it troubled him. And it tells you in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 that people's heart are darkened with understanding, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. See, you can think that you're doing something by being all big and hardening your heart and go to talking about what you ain't going to do and how you're going to do it your own way. Well, you see how Saul ended up, don't you? That's how he ended up for being the kind of person that he was, and that's not the kind of person that God is looking for. God is not concerned about how mad you get. He don't care about how mad you get and when you go to talking about, "Well, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. I'm my own person. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do." Well, guess what? There's a God of the universe who is able to straighten you out. He's able to straighten you out, and you don't want him to put his hands on you. Because if anybody can chastise you, it's God. It's God. See, Saul had developed a spirit. See, he was trying to kill David, and it all came from him being mad. See, he developed two sinful attitudes that made him a failure. He was hard-headed and he was hard-hearted. That's two qualities that God is definitely not looking for. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 14 tell us that happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. See, God told Saul to do something, and Saul, he did not obey. And even when he was confronted with it, you know, he denied it. You know, God might confront you about something. He can send anybody to confront you about something. You know, God is God, and when he confronts you with something, don't let your heart become hardened, you know, or fall into mischief. See, Saul, he denied his sin. And he even after David told him about it, he denied it. But then he tried to convince, you know, he tried to convince Samuel that he was obeying the Lord. So Samuel just had to be blunt with him. He had to tell him, Saul, you is hard-hearted and you will never really admit your wrongdoing. And that's why God has rejected you as king. So don't let, you know, people or your sin or someone, you know, that come up and tell you something about what God has said. And you know it's true. You know it's true. But you're just mad because they came up and told you about it. You know, just get your heart right before you even respond to that. And don't let, the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be mad all day and all night and 3 years and 4 years and 5 years and I'm still mad with so and so. You know, don't, you will become a cold-hearted person. That's what you will become. See, there are people who claim to be on their way to heaven, but, you know, they never get the hang of being obedient. You know, the first thing they say is, you know, I pay my own bills, I pay my own rent, I drive my own car, and when I come into this church, ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. Well, guess what? You're talking about the man of God. That's what you're talking about, because God has put him here and put him over the church for a reason. See, you're kind of halfway in and then you're kind of halfway out. Doing things your way. Externally, you have a lot of religion thing, but inside, you're full of lust and greed and bitterness. And this is what has brought you to become hard-hearted. See, don't get me wrong, though. I'm not saying that God don't love you. God do love you. God loved the whole world. That's why he died for us. But even after God loved, God is looking for a certain kind of people. He brought the Holy Ghost for to change you, not for you to remain the same. Not even after you done got the Holy Ghost, you said, well, I'm waiting for God to deliver me. Well, guess what? He already delivered you. You need to bow down to what God done told you to do. That's what you need to do. That's all you have to do, is you got to give up something. Jesus said, take up your cross and deny yourself. See, after he done gave you the Holy Ghost, it's time for you to deny yourself. It ain't about what you want and how you want to do it. It don't go that way. See, God has no use for a person with that kind of attitude. And you didn't just get that way. It was a process. You kept on telling yourself over and over and over and again, and that's how you ended up that way. You failed to fully obey God, and after a while, your disobedience don't even bother you no more. James said in James 1:15, he said, when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. So you can keep on telling yourself something. The Bible says that in a man's eye, he thinketh he right, but the end of it is death. And I'm just paraphrasing that, but that's what he said. See, God, this church right here, this ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. This ain't for you to come up in here and think you can have everything your way. You better bow down to the man of God and the woman of God and do what they tell you to do. That's why God brought you here. You know, he wants you to be established. You know, he wants you to be of a sound doctrine. A steadfast and an unmovable, like we saw the rock up on the screen, and it was 50 feet tall. And when we walked up there, I was so amazed at the rocks. You know, I couldn't believe, I ain't never been nowhere. I come from the South. I come out of the country. You know, I've never seen rocks like that in my life. So when I got on the boat, I couldn't even hold my tongue. I know the people probably were just sick and tired of hearing me talking about God, but that's all I know. That's all I know. I saw all the rocks and I was just amazed. And when we got to this one rock, it was 50 feet tall. And the lady was like, this rock is 50 feet tall. And she said, it's called Stan's Rock. And I told myself, we know who this rock is called. This is Jesus. That's who the rock is. He's Jesus. And he's taller than 50 feet. But that's how tall the water had been, because the rock was carved. The rocks is so amazing. They had this one that stands like a stack of pancakes. And they call it Pancake Rock, because the water done shaped it until it just stands up like a pancake. But when you just really look at it and you really know who God is, he said, if you don't believe me for my words, you better believe me for my works. So even if you can't, you don't know the Bible, all you have to do is just look at some things that God has created. See, God, he's looking for a people who is willing, a people who willing to love him wholeheartedly, whole soul, mind, devoted to serve him and him alone. He's looking for a humble people, a holy people, a people that you must have no other God before me. He said, I'm a jealous God, a consuming fire, a people without a spot or a blemish, a people who would deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow me. You can't serve two God. God said you can't serve two God. And I'm talking about things, material things. Take a look around. You see my husband here? Nope, he ain't my God. I'm going to serve God. I don't care if nobody else ain't here. I'm going to do what I need to do as a person that God has called me to be. That's who Johnny May going to be. Because nobody here can save my soul. You can't come rescue me in the middle of the night when I need to fall on my knees. I have been taught how to fall on my knees. When trials and tribulations come, all I know to say is, Jesus, please come help me. That's what I know to say. See, Jesus say you can't serve two masters, see, because either you're going to hate one and you're going to love the other, or else you're going to hold to one and you're going to despise the other. See, you can't serve God and mammon. So if you truly believe in Jesus and his death and his burial and his resurrection, and you truly trust him, why are you still living like the devil? You know, you got to think about it. You got to say, you know, I can't continue to live like this. And believe me, you can't do it on your own. I know because I tried it. I was going to the church, smoking blunts, leaving them out in the car, waiting until I get out of church so I can go right back out that door and hit it and do what I want to do. But guess what? I came to a point in my life where I was so sick and tired of myself. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I made up my mind one day. I said, Lord, I'm going to the church. And I said, today I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. And when I went there, I was the first somebody at the door. I beat the pastor to the church. He said, Sister Johnny, you here so early. I said, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost today. He said, you is? And I said, yes, I am. Because you know what I had did? I had locked myself up in the room for the whole week so I wouldn't have to go smoke no weed. But guess what? The devil going to come after you the minute he know your thoughts. He coming after you. He sent one of my friends over my house, and she was knocking down there and banging, and I wouldn't go open the door, so she called me on the phone. She was like, girl, guess what? You acting real funny right now. And I said, girl, I'm trying to get saved. She said, girl, I just put 5 bags of marijuana in your mailbox. I said, 5 bags of marijuana, girl? I went to thinking to myself. I said, ooh, we, that sound good. I knew I wanted the Holy Ghost, but to hear about that marijuana, I wanted that too. I said, oh, Lord, I want it so bad. I was shaking like a leaf on a tree. I went down to that mailbox, and I put it in my hand, and I said, what to do with it? And something said, go put it in the garbage. Do you know that was the hardest thing for me to do? That was so hard for me to do because I wanted to smoke it. But guess what? I wanted to change. I wanted to change. I put that marijuana in the garbage, and I ran back up them stairs. And when Sunday came, I was the first somebody at the church. And that was the day I received the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget. A pastor came there, Pastor Jack Yance. I'll never forget him. He said, the topic is run for your life. I was running for my life. I sure was, and I wasn't ashamed of it because I was sick of myself. You got to get to a point in your life that you're sick of your own self. See, long as you keep making excuses for yourself, you ain't going to do no changing. You got to tell yourself, I'm sick and tired of myself. I'm sick and tired of all this cussing I do. I'm sick and tired of all this drinking, smoking, marijuana, getting mad at folk, going talking about God did this to me and I ain't coming back to the church. Well, guess what? God don't care if you don't come back to the church. He's still going to be God. He's going to still be God when you get through saying all that nonsense. He's going to still be God. See, God, he is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. He's looking for a people without a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish, a people who will deny themselves, a people who will pick up their cross and follow Jesus. That's what kind of person God is looking for. And he said, but there is a people, but these are people who all they do is they just come to church. You know, they just come to church. They just said, well, I done did everything I want to do, and now I'm about to go to church today. And when I get out of church, they already got a plan for what they're going to do. I'm going to the bar. I'm going to put my miniskirt on. I'm going to get dressed up and get drunk, and I'm going to go right back and do my thing. And then when Sunday comes, I'm going back to the church. Well, guess what? You're just a people that draw a nigh to God with your lips, but your heart is far from him. Your heart is far from him. Why are you so worried about what people think about you? Nobody can save your soul but Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way in John 14, verse 6. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no man can come to the Father except through me. So none of your friends, your boyfriend, your husband, your finances, your job, your education, your new house, your car, your money, none of these things will save you. None of them. None of that ain't going to even matter, because when the last day come and the trumpet blow, guess what's going to matter? All going to matter is your soul. That's all going to matter. And can't nobody say that but Jesus. He is the only one who can save your soul. He is the only one. The only one who can save your soul is Jesus. He is the one who will determine where your soul will rest. You know, but in Joshua, it said in verse 24 and 15, it said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you better choose this day. This day who you gonna serve. See, you think you here because of me, but you ain't. That's what you thought. But God brought you here. He brought you here for today so you can make up your mind who you gonna serve. You ain't gonna have no excuse to say, I ain't heard the word. You ain't gonna be able to say that. When that time comes and you get face to face with God and he asks you whatever question he asks you, you ain't going to have no excuse. Ain't no excuses. You ain't going to be able to say, well, I ain't hear that and didn't nobody never tell me that. Well, you ain't have to worry about it because it's so many Bibles until you can't even get rid of them. So you ain't going to have no excuse. See, you can't get to heaven by doing good. Or being righteous, because the Bible says your righteousness is filthy rags. So if you think you're doing anything good, guess what? You're not. The Bible says your body, that's your reasonable service. Even when you're doing what God wants you to do and you think that it ain't right, you think you want to do what you want to do, guess what? It's not going to work. Because to present your body to God, that's your reasonable service. He the one who created you. He the one who gave it to you. And the Bible said that Jesus said that you must be born again, because this body right here and this flesh right here is going to die. You know, you have to be reborn. And when you tell people that, they say, reborn? How you going to be reborn? Just like Nicodemus said, he was very educated, a highly educated man. But guess what he asked Jesus? How am I going to be born again? Do I got to go back into my mama's womb as old as I am and be born again? See, that show you right there. He didn't even understand it. See, God said you got to be born of the water and of the spirit. That means that you need to get baptized. And I know a lot of people say, yeah, I've been baptized. I was baptized when I was a baby. I was 5 years old and 6 years old. Well, guess what? You ain't had no sins. You ain't had no sins. In order to be baptized, you need to understand as an adult, or as a child that's old enough to understand that you have sins and that you know right from wrong. The Bible says you need to be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus. It didn't say in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Well, who name is that? That's Jesus' name. That's who name that is. Ain't no other name. I don't care what kind of name you think you want to give him. Ain't no other name but Jesus. That's what the Bible say. The Bible says it's giving him a name that is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee gonna bow and every tongue gonna confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, this being born of this water and spirit, this means that you need to have a new nature. Because that old one you got ain't no good. Adam and Eve messed us up. They messed us up. It wasn't even our fault, but guess what? We're responsible right now. You're responsible, because as long as you know that Jesus Christ came, died, bled, hung on the cross, and went back to heaven, you is responsible. You're responsible for what's going to happen to you after that. You need a new nature, a new principle, a new affection, a new aim. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of people that God is looking for. God looking for a new kind of people. It's a people that's been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what kind of people God looking for. A people with a new nature, with the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was on his way to the cross, let's read that at John 19, verse 30. John 19 and verse 30. John 19 and verse 30 reads, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit." So when Jesus had received the wine and he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head, he released the spirit so that you and I can receive it. That's why he went to the cross, to release his spirit. Because Adam and Eve had already sinned and they had lost the spirit of God. The spirit is the covering. So that's why they couldn't be in God's presence no more. That's why he got the angels and got them up out the garden, get on up out of here, because you lost the spirit and God can't be in the presence of no sin, because he is a perfect God. That's what he is. He a perfect God. So that's why he came and released his spirit, so you and I can receive the spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after, he ascended into heaven. And that's when the spirit came. The Bible say in Acts 2, verse 1 and through 13, it says, "On the day of Pentecost was fully come." It said they was all in one accord. They was all on one accord. And it said the sound of a mighty rushing wind came in, and they all was speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You got to want to change. You got to have the desire to change, because your inner fleshly man do not want to change. He like it. He like just where he at, in the mud, wallowing around like a pig. He like that. So you got to have that desire to want to change. You got to tell yourself, "I'm sick and tired of being myself. I'm sick and tired of making myself feel this way. I'm sick and tired of going through things. I'm just sick and tired of it." And if you get to that point in your life, then you could be one of the people that God is looking for, because God is looking for a people. So my friends and my brothers and my sisters, I want y'all all to know that, you know, hell is real. It's mentioned more times in the Bible than you can ever count. It's for real. It ain't just no place where you think that, "Oh, well, when I die, I'm going to the dirt." No, you're not. You're going to the dirt, but there's a soul inside of you that's going somewhere. I'm not here to tell you which one of them you're going to, but I know where I'm going. That's what matters. The Bible said you better seek out your own salvation. You better make sure you know where you're going. Because hell is real. There's a real hell, and there's a heaven also to gain. And guess what? Even after you get to heaven, there's something else you can gain. You're going to gain eternal life. You're going to get a chance to just dance around and do whatever Jesus wants you to do. You won't have no more problems, no more sickness, no more death, no more mourning, no more outcry, no more pain, no more nothing from your family, no more none of that. You're just going to be so full of joy until it's just unspeakable, the Bible say. See, this is the kind of people that God is looking for. And God wants to know today, there's somebody here. There's somebody here, because believe me, every time God opened them doors, it's somebody that's coming into this house need to hear the message. And it's only that God is just giving you one more chance. He giving you another chance. When he woke you up this morning and you thought in your own mind, "I'm about to go to church," guess what? God already had it planned. He already had it planned. "I got a word for you today." And you might not agree with it. That's not my problem if you don't agree with it or not. That's God's word. That's God's word. You don't have to agree with it if you don't want to. The devil didn't agree with it. Guess where he at? kicked out of heaven. That's where he is, on his way to a hell that was prepared for him. Is you going to go to a place that wasn't even prepared for you? God is a God of love. He loved all of us here today. He loved his children. When I think about how he could leave his throne of glory, I'm talking about God leaving his throne of glory, coming down to the earth. And he said at one time, it repented him that he had made man. God was mad. The madness that God was mad ain't nothing like the madness that you think you mad because somebody done stepped on your toe or did something, jumped in front of you while you were driving or whatever they done did to you. God was very angry. He was very mad that he had made man, you know. So God got to a point, though. He said, you know, these are my people, and this is the reason why he sent Jesus Christ. You know, he sent him to die. Jesus already knew his reason and his purpose for coming to the earth. He already knew that. He already knew the things he was going to suffer. He was prepared. Get yourself prepared. Get yourself prepared. Today is the day you need to get your heart prepared. God said a heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it, he said? Nobody but God. Get yourself prepared, get your heart prepared, and receive Jesus today. Because if you're looking for a man to satisfy you, a boyfriend or a girlfriend or sex or whatever you think you're looking for, guess what? It's only temporarily. It's not going to last. It ain't going to last. It's not. But Jesus, the Bible said he is Lord. He's Lord, he's God, he's Father of all. Open up your heart today and receive him.